I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another day older. Now that I have turned 30, I have wisdom that I didn't have before. Now that I am no longer one of you millennial 20-somethings.
I think you're still a millennial, though, man. Like, you don't, your generation doesn't change just because you become 30.
I mean,
you're
still stuck
in that generation that's
I'm
killing
I'm talking about
all
you
all
propeller heads, you stat weenies that still live in the basement of your mom's house, still use Juno Internet. I'm not one of you anymore.
Yeah.
I have a new look on life that now I am 30 years old, and the text line is already trying to get me out of it. Orlando Scandrick will go down as the best Chiefs corner to wear number 22. This is what I missed yesterday. This is what I missed. This is what was going down yesterday.
Wow.
You guys didn't have a good handle on this when I was gone.
He'll go down as the best number 22, huh? Yeah.
Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. I'm very happy to be here. Carrington Harrison here. Hashtag new heist. Hashtag old spec. Steven Spector here. And the one, the only, Brad Fanning. How you doing today, man?
Good, man. How are you doing? Happy belated birthday to you. You all right, man? Did you just kind of lay under a blanket yesterday after you turned 30? Were you down and depressed, sucking on your banky?
No, I definitely
was not depressed.
I just had some time of self-reflection.
Yeah, I was going to say, reflecting on life and what's ahead of you.
I feel very reflected. I feel very refreshed and fired up to do the show today.
What was it like to wake up this morning and have to put on big boy pants since you're 30 now?
It felt the exact same as it felt
it?
A couple of weeks ago when I was 29 years old. It definitely didn't feel any different. But again, I am very, very,
let me ask you
very
this.
Happy to be here.
Would you actually be honest if you really did sort of have like a moment where like, holy crap, I'm 30? Would you even be truthful about that? So you had nothing like that?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No,
that's good then.
I haven't had that moment. If I had, I certainly would share it with you guys. I've certainly shared enough over my time of doing this. But yeah, I would definitely share it with you. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Jamie Quirk is going to join us in 30 minutes. We have Allie Trost. She is the editor at Arrowhead Pride. She will be in studio today, as we normally do whenever the Royals bleed into our show. Three strikes today is at 3:30. Mm-hmm. It is your chance to win a pair of Royals tickets. And you know what? I'm going to be mostly positive today because I'm in a great mood today. I know you guys like to call me Buzz Killington, but we are days away from the start of football. There is actually living, breathing college football that matters this Saturday on television. I'm so excited for it. So I'm in a great mood today. Speaking of a great mood, let me give you a chance to win a prize. Call number 6-913-576-7610. Yes, the winner gets a pair of Royals and Indians tickets. And all you got to do is two things. Actually, three. Number one, be caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. Number two, tell one person that you know to listen at 2 o'clock. And then three, you know, and maybe the most important rule, Spector, you are an idiot.
So much for that positivity and wisdom after the age of 30.
If
I know.
You
how
don't
about that?
Do all of those things.
Sometimes people change for the better once they get into their 30s. You know, it's a really great decade to live. You know, you're a little bit older. You got a little bit of cash. You know, you're a little bit more mature, but not CDOT, apparently. Nothing has changed, Steven.
Spector, you are an idiot. That's how you win the prize. We do need the sounder for a little bit of breaking news because the curse continues with the Los Angeles Chargers. They thought that moving from San Diego to Los Angeles was going to exorcise the demons. That has not happened for the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers cornerback Casey Hayward pulled up and grabbed his hamstring, covering Mike Williams, who I didn't even know was still in the NFL. He went into the medical tent. The medical tent for the Los Angeles Chargers has to look like a triage unit. Every single day, one of their key members, I don't know how Phillip Rivers has avoided the injuries with being associated with that organization, but this offseason, we've seen Hunter Henry, we've seen Jason Verrett, we've seen Joey Bosa go down. We've seen Casey Hayward go down with an injury. We'll see what happens. If he comes back, I expect him to come back. It doesn't sound that seriously. But every single day, if you're a Chargers fan, you gotta watch your step.
Well, I went through this yesterday too, CDOT, and now there's another one. You got Jalen Watkins, torn ACL. He's done.
Done.
Hunter Henry, as you mentioned, done with an ACL in May. Rookie tight end Austin Roberts went down with an ACL the first week of training camp. Jason Verrett, outski. Joey Bosa with a foot injury. And now today with Casey Hayward. Who's got where? I think Clark Hunt does have the L.A. Chargers voodoo doll somewhere. Do you think that's what it is?
I don't know.
Or do you think it's the
Rams,
like across the city, that they're just doing that because they want the entire city for themselves? They have the worst luck of any team in the world.
Text line making a good point. That is the new Mike Williams, not the old Mike Williams. Yeah. Thank you. You know what? I'm getting old. I forget these kind of things. I'm here to spread positivity today because I listened to a little bit of sports talk yesterday, and I hear everybody worried about the defense. Now, I'm not saying you should think the Chiefs' defense is going to be great, but I just want to put what we've seen so far this preseason into a little bit of context. If we had to create a list right now of the seven most important Chiefs defensive players, we agree Reggie Ragland will be on that list, right?
Yeah, I think he's on there. Yeah, middle linebacker.
Anthony Hitchens is on that
middle
list,
linebacker.
Correct?
Yeah, he's on that list.
Eric Berry would be in that list.
Yeah, he's an all-pro.
You want to know how many snaps those three have played combined in the two preseason games the Chiefs have had?
Is it the same as the IQ of Steven Spector?
Zero. We've seen zero preseason snaps from Reggie Ragland. Zero from Anthony Hitchens. Zero from Eric Berry. Eric Berry's first team All-Pro.
Yeah.
Eric Berry's the guy that can cover Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think he'd be important in these preseason games? And maybe we could judge the defense a little bit differently if that guy was on the field? How about Justin Houston? Pass rush is very important, no?
Yeah.
Like, it's a very important skill to be able to get after the other team's quarterback. That certainly makes your secondary look a lot better if you can get after the quarterback, correct?
I've always heard that the quarterback must go down and must go down hard.
Justin Houston has played 12 snaps in the Chiefs' two preseason games. So out of Reggie Ragland, Anthony Hitchens, Eric Berry, Justin Houston, they have gotten 12 preseason snaps. Now, you guys got eyes. I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig here. The Chiefs' defense hasn't looked very good. But I do think it should come with a big asterisk and a big caveat of we are not seeing the Chiefs' defense. I don't know what kind of defense we're seeing out there. I would say no defense is what we're seeing for the most part.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing the Chiefs' defense. This weekend against the Chicago Bears, where Andy Reid, and we'll play it for you here momentarily, said that he expects Ragland and Hitchens to play.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens with Eric Berry. And I expect Justin Houston to play a little bit more. Then we'll actually see the Chiefs' defense. But seeing no Reggie Ragland, no Hitchens, no Berries, and Justin Houston for 12 snaps, we're not seeing the actual Chiefs' defense.
C-Dot, you're the preacher and I'm the choir, my friend. It's exactly what I was trying to tell Steven Spector yesterday, and he wasn't having any of it.
You're telling me Steven Spector was being negative?
Absolutely.
That's what you're telling me.
He was.
Oh my goodness.
He was Buzz Killington yesterday.
I can't believe that.
That's the exact point that I was trying to make, because how can you judge this defense if you don't have your best players on the field? I mean, it's ridiculous. And when your best players are on the field on the defense, at least the ones that are out there, your starters, they're not even playing the entire game. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. It was defensive overreaction Monday yesterday, and I'm with you. I'm glad that you're stewing over this, and I'm glad you wanted to talk about this, because I kept trying to educate the man yesterday while you were gone, and it wasn't working. Like, nothing worked yesterday with him.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't have any level of concern for the Chiefs' defense with how bad they were last year. I'm just simply saying it is impossible to evaluate the 2018 Chiefs' defense if we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it yet. I'm all for evaluating them after this Bears game because I expect those two guys to play. I'm all for evaluating them week one of the NFL season when they go up against, in my opinion, one of the top 10 offenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
But when I haven't seen the two biggest things for their run defense, mm-hmm, and arguably their best defensive player in Eric Berry, you can argue it certainly,
yeah,
and Justin Houston's played 12 snaps, I haven't seen four of their five most important defensive players. It's just not fair to evaluate the Chiefs' defense where that's not the case on offense. Think about how we would feel about the offense if you didn't have Kareem Hunt for any of these games, Tyreek Hill, or Travis Kelce for any of these.
And
then the Chiefs' offense would look a whole lot different.
Chiefs' offense sucks. They're playing Chase Litton. He's not going to – of course. At some point, Chiefs fans have to use common sense on this, okay? Please do this. Because you guys were carving the Chiefs' defense up on social media the other night, which is ridiculous.
I mean, to be fair, the Falcons were doing the same thing.
Well, you mean the Falcons fans? Is that what you're talking about?
No, the Falcons were carving the Chiefs' defense, too.
But even on that, like, they stopped the Falcons on two fourth down plays, and they actually had them stuffed on that big play to the tight end, on Austin Hooper, that the Chiefs forced Matt Ryan out of the pocket. They had to improvise, and that cost them. Now, after that, they didn't play such great defense, in getting into the end zone. But they again, you can't freak out about the defense in the preseason when your best players are not on the field. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my entire life.
All right, well, there is one thing that I think you should freak out just a little bit when it comes to the Chiefs defense. Because I am a firm believer that normally the draft tells the story. Like, just how in college recruiting, if you want to see how good a program is, you look at rivals. If you want to see why an organization or why a franchise is the way they are, look at the draft over the last 5-6 years, and you normally have a really good indication. We have looked up every corner and every safety the Chiefs have drafted since 2009. We agree, decent sample size. We're not using the last 3 years. Yeah. Guys we can evaluate. Mm-hmm. This is who the Chiefs have drafted at the positions. In 2009, they got Donald Washington. In 2010, Eric Berry, still on the team. Javier Arenas, Kendrick Lewis. In 2011, Jaleel Brown, who I heard had a little groin. In 2012, Daquan Minzie.
Who?
In 2013, Sanders Cummings.
Did he get much playing time?
Who actually might still be on the IR for the Chiefs. In 2014, Phillip Gaines.
Always hurt.
In 2015, Marcus Peters and Steven Nelson. In 2016, Kavari Russell, Eric Murray, DJ White. 2017, Leon McQuay. 2018, last season, they got Armani Watts, and they also got Tremont Smith in the sixth round. I didn't hear a whole lot of hits there.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear a lot of hits when it came to the secondary, to the corners?
No.
They've drafted one good corner in the last 10 years, and it was Marcus Peters, and they traded him. That explains why the Chiefs secondary is the way it is. Like, the proof is in the pudding when it comes to the NFL draft. You drafted very poorly cornerback-wise and defensive-wise over the last 10 years for the most part, especially when it comes to secondary pieces. That's why you're picking up Orlando Scandrick on one-year incentive-laden deals, who Orlando Scandrick might be a nominal increase over David Amerson, who I think we can admit the David Amerson experience is probably going to go poorly this season. Like, I've seen enough of David Amerson over his NFL career and not just overreacting to the first two preseason games. He is not going to be a solid corner for the Chiefs. He's going to get cooked, fricasseed often and early when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I'm optimistic about Kendall Fuller, and we'll see what happens with Steven Nelson, who I don't know how you could be overly optimistic about him.
Yeah.
But to me, this is the Chiefs got an opportunity to see David Amerson, and they've seen him up close. They realize what I realize. It's going to be a long season at that position. And they went out there and they did the best they could with the bad situation. They picked up Orlando Scandrick for depth. You always have to anticipate you're going to lose somebody. But if you want to look at the Chiefs secondary, why it is, look at the last 10 NFL drafts. They've drafted one good corner in 10 years, and they traded him for peanuts. That explains why the Chiefs secondary is the way it is.
That, I mean, you have to pick it up guys like Darrell Revis, too. I mean, they were so desperate last year. I don't know if the Chiefs just don't know how to draft good corners. Because Marcus Peters was a guy that I think he was a high first-round talent. The Chiefs ended up getting him because he had some baggage because he got kicked off his college team. But, I mean, look what they did in 2016, C-Don. I mean, DJ White's not around any longer. He was a sixth-round pick. Kavari Russell, a third-round pick out of Notre Dame, never even made it out of camp. Steven Nelson, what are we, nickel corner at best? Is that what we're thinking? He's out with a concussion. Phillip Gaines couldn't stay healthy. Sanders Cummings was terrible. Daquan Menzie, where's he at? I have no idea. Jaleel Brown was average at best. Javier Arenas, nothing. Kendrick Lewis got, Speck and I came up with a new one yesterday, got skewered.
In that
playoff game. And then Donald Washington was a tweener. He was barely a nickelback and more of a special teamer. I think this is one of the things that Brett Veach will be measured on. Speck, what did we say? What kind of league is the NFL we talked about yesterday? It's a passing league?
Yes.
Okay, it means you need to defend it, correct?
Yes.
And the Chiefs, to this point,
very important skill.
Don't seem to know how to draft him, with the exception of one guy that they had to get rid of who they got in the first round. This is a problem.
Or you either don't draft well or you don't develop them well. Because you can't say they don't take chances at corner. I mean, most teams are taking chances at corners and safeties. The Chiefs just never seem to hit on them.
But look,
hit on one corner in the last 10 years. That explains the pass secondary the way it is right now. If you haven't hit on a safety since Eric Berry in 2010, and you've hit in one corner in the last 10 years, and it's Marcus Peters, Eric Berry's coming off injury, and Marcus Peters, you traded for a fourth-round safety in Armani Watts and a pick next year that hasn't helped you yet, It explains why their secondary is the way it is. It explains why you got to go get David Amerson on one-year deals. It explains why you got to pick up Orlando Scandrick on one-year deals. It explains why Steven Nelson, we're all hoping for the best with Steven Nelson, which I think we've seen enough to know it is going to be shaky results. I'm not saying the Chiefs secondary won't show you any promise, but I do think we've seen enough to know they are going to get picked on at times by mediocre receivers. We saw it last year. We're going to see the exact same thing this year. The Orlando Scandrick was them just admitting it publicly. We failed at corner over the last couple of seasons. We got to do something to try to salvage it this year.
And I think it's pretty clear with what they were trying to do. I think in 2016, they thought they were probably going to be covered with Russell Murray and DJ White, and it didn't work. I mean, none of those guys are even on the team now. It's 2018, and none of those guys are even around after they got drafted in 2016. I think it needs to be more of a focus every draft. I think if you're going to go after, you know, big-time skill players and you're in love with linemen like Andy Reid is, you better figure out a way to be in love with cornerbacks as well, or else you're going to keep getting cooked.
Text line 69306, Brandon Flowers. He was actually drafted not in the last 10 years. That tells you how long ago it's been since the Chiefs have drafted a really good corner that stayed with the team for a while. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the best of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as they spoke with the media earlier today, talking football right here on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes or so, we'll catch up with Jamie Cork. He will join us in studio, talk a little bit of Royals baseball. Earlier today, Andy Reid talked about the connection between Sammy Watkins and one Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, all that will come. Sammy's still working through the offense. I love his intensity on learning all the little small things. We're moving him everywhere. You've seen that. We've got him in all different spots. And if you haven't seen it in games, you've seen it in practice. In practice, they've done some good things. But I love his intensity on learning exactly what he's got to do in all these different spots. And there's just some little intricacies that these other guys have had an opportunity to do, and he's working through that.
I want to ask a question. I don't want everybody to freak out. Is there any concern for Sammy Watkins? I think I'm the only person that's a little bit concerned about Sammy Watkins, who had as many catches in the game as me and Spector did. You're paying $14 million, had zero catches. I'm still hearing conversations about chemistry 2 weeks from the start of the season. I'm just simply asking if anybody is concerned about Sammy Watkins.
You're a bigger buzzkill than Buzz Killington.
I'm a little bit concerned. Like, on a scale from 1 to 10, like a 5.5, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit worried about Sammy Watkins. I just want to ask if anybody else is. Patrick Mahomes talked about the connection he has with Sammy Watkins earlier today at Chiefs practice.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just comes with reps. He's out here trying to learn every single position on this offense. I mean, it's something where it's a hard offense to learn. I mean, I understand from last year, but, I mean, he's picking it up really, really well for how much we're asking of him, and I'm excited for him going along, for him to know all those different routes and know all those different positions, because it's going to help spread and open up our offense even to a new level.
We can go around the room, Specs, since you called me Buzz Killington. What's the level of concern right now with Sammy Watkins? I'm putting mine at 5.5.
Yeah, I'm going to put mine at 2.5. I mean, he's had 3 balls thrown to him. One was intercepted. The other one should have been intercepted, and the other one was on his back hip. So I'm at nothing right now. And let's not forget he had somewhat of a hip injury, a sore hip in camp as well, so I'm not concerned at all yet.
Speck?
I was at a 4 yesterday. I'm sticking with a 4.
Yeah, no, I'm not freaking out.
I'm just hearing them talk about they don't have the connection and the chemistry, and the season's about to start.
They started practicing 3.5 months ago,
I'm asking.
When Sammy Watkins was healthy?
That part does concern me a little bit. He's at the sore hip, all right, and the balls that Mahomes threw to him were terrible. I mean, they were awful. And the one should have been picked in the end zone. The one was one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. And the other one was on his back hip on a little drag route. So that part doesn't concern me. Now, if we see some of the same stuff this week against the Bears, okay, now you got my attention a little bit.
Andy Reid talks about Patrick Mahomes learning from his mistakes.
Well, it's important because there are going to be hiccups as we go. I mean, he's a young guy. He's seeing things for the first time in many cases with the different secondaries that they throw at you, or different blitzes. And that'll continue. That kind of continues through the first year, and you see it, you work through it. It doesn't mean that you can't be successful and can't win games and all that. That's not what that means. But it's important that you don't you see it again, that you don't make the same mistake. That's where that can be a problem with a quarterback. And he's very good at that. He's very good at not doing the same thing twice.
I think you saw it in the first half of the game against the Atlanta Falcons. I think the most simplistic way of breaking down Patrick Mahomes. He will make some plays and he will do some things that very few human beings walking the face of the earth can do consistently. Like the throw that he made to Tyreek Hill, there are not many people walking the face of the earth that can do that. Especially not consistently.
Yeah.
Like maybe like four people walking the face of the earth that can do what he did consistently. He will also do some things that will make you absolutely pull your hair out. Like, just absolutely pull your hair out that Alex Smith never did. Like, the first interception he threw, Alex Smith never makes that interception or very rarely makes that interception. So sometimes you will get the gift. Sometimes you will get the curse with Patrick Mahomes, and this is just an experience we've all signed up for this season.
But I want to find out if Andy Reid's right about this, and I'm going to trust Andy Reid on this based on his history with quarterbacks, but let's see if he doesn't make those mistakes again. Like, that's what I want to see in the Bears game. That's what I want to see in the regular season. If he keeps doing the same thing over and over and over, we all know this. It's the definition of insanity. You've got to be able to correct mistakes, and if he throws another crummy interception this week, similar to the one that he did, then I'll be a little concerned. But I pounded this in yesterday too, C-Dot, when you weren't here. I'm like, to me, it's about decision-making. That was a bad decision. He made two bad decisions on specifically, and both were to Sammy Watkins, the one in the end zone and the interception. So if you can consistently make when your worst becomes better, then you're getting somewhere. Let's find out. Andy Reid says that he doesn't make the same mistake twice very often. Well, let's see it.
Well, speaking of that, this is what he said earlier today about that.
One thing, he doesn't make the same mistake twice normally. That's a positive thing, especially from a coach's standpoint, right? So you saw the throw he made to Kels, same route that he threw to Kels last week, and he overshot a little bit. And this one was right there. So they worked on it between games, and it paid off for him right there. So those kind of things, you kind of check those off in your head. I mean, that's something you keep track of. And listen, he's going to make some long – he's got a big arm. He's got a good way of doing that. He's done his whole career in college. So the long ones will come. And but those intermediate throws, you know, he starts off 5 for 5, and he builds on that. That's important. The possession throws, those short intermediate throws that kind of keep the chains moving, are as important or more so than even the big ones. So
maybe I took his statement way too literal, and I can admit that. Don't all people make the same mistake multiple times? Like, Mahomes is going to make the same mistake multiple times. Like, the throw he had on the interception where the safety comes underneath and picks the ball off, that's going to happen again in the NFL multiple times, because that happens all the time to every quarterback in the NFL. So, again, I'm saying maybe I took that way too literal. That's not realistic to me that he doesn't make the same mistake twice. No one does that.
I think and maybe this is what Andy Reid's saying, and we got to read between the lines on this a little bit. I mean, that was a really bad throw, too. Like, you know, that was a floater up there. I mean, two safeties and two corners could have gotten over there to pick that pass off. That ball was in the air that long to Sammy Watkins. So I think what he's saying is maybe either don't make that throw or make a different throw, throw it on the other side of why. Maybe that's what he's saying. I don't know. But you're right. Yeah, safety's going to pick off quarterbacks. I mean, that's going to happen. I think he's just saying over and over and over, like repeatedly making the same mistake is what he won't do.
Yeah, and I guess to me, I mean, just overvaluing your arm and throwing a duck throw the way that he did is just going to happen all the time, because that's just it. Sometimes it's going to be beautiful, like the touchdown completion to Tyreek Hill. Like, again, not many people can do that. A lot of people can do that throw where the safety comes underneath and picks it off. Like, that's just a standard interception that happens. You misevaluate it, you underthrow it, it just gets picked off. So, maybe I'm taking it too literal.
Yeah.
That's just not realistic expectation for your quarterback.
Well, one of the things that Mahomes said after the game, too, that concerned me a little bit is that I hadn't been able to throw the deep ball yet, which is why he took a stab at that throw to Sammy Watkins. I think that's part of the problem that we're going to face with Mahomes. Because you can't do that. I mean, this isn't Texas Tech, man. You're not playing in Lubbock and you're not playing Rice. You know, I mean, you're playing NFL safeties and NFL corners, and big-time coordinators are going to come out there, and they're going to try to bait you into some stuff. He hadn't been able to throw the deep ball to that point, and he wanted to do it, and he made the decision to do it, and it got picked off because it was a lousy throw and one he shouldn't have made. So that's all I'm saying right there. And I think making the same mistake twice is getting greedy, wanting to throw a deep ball when you shouldn't.
Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we'll all take a minute. But first, Jamie Quirk, our Royals insider, will join us in studio. Jamie Quirk next on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, I want to tell you guys about something cool. We are having a watch party for the season opener at Winning Streaks inside Harrah's Casino on September 9th. We are going to have $6.10 specials, and you also can win a trip for Denver for the Monday night game. So be sure to put that right now in your phone. Save it as a reminder. Winning Streaks, September 9th for the season opener. Come stop by and hang out with your favorite people over here at 610 Sports Radio. Right now, we welcome into the studio our guy, played in the major leagues for over 10 years, coached in the minor leagues. It's our guy, Jamie Quirk. Jamie, how are you doing today?
Good, man? Guys. Good to see you. Yeah, been a while.
Good to see you back in studio, man. We haven't seen you since we were live out there at Blind Box right. with you and George. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Did you guys like that?
It was really good.
Good.
I love the wings. I think the wings are really, really good.
Excellent. Yeah, it's a well-kept secret. Hopefully people more people know about it.
Well, football season kicking around with that great patio they have out there is going to be great. I love the fact that George wanted to fight Willie Randolph if he walked in Blind Box that day. He still wants to throw hands, and he's in his 60s now. I love that stuff because that's what the Royals Yankees used to be.
I've known George for 45, 50 years. I never knew he hated Willie Randolph till that day.
Jamie, we have been trying to figure something out. We've been doing some drive investigative reporting. Is Glenn Sparkman a real person? Because Spectre and I don't think that's a real person. Like, if I had asked you January 1, Glenn Sparkman, T-Bones player or Royals player, I don't know if you get the right answer on Glenn Sparkman. Is he a real person?
Yeah, actually, I had him in Wilmington for a short period. He was injured and they rehabbing his way back through. And they had him in Wilmington for, two starts, and he went to Double A and Triple A. So, yeah, he is a real person.
Good. Now we have confirmation on that. I was trying to tell these guys that, man. And they were giving
well,
me
I think
time,
we have. Man. You have to watch tonight. I think he's pitching.
Yes, I think. Yeah, Sparky on the hill tonight.
Yeah,
nice. All right.
I think more than anything, if we kind of go back and like. What will we learn about the 2018 Royals? I think we learned that Whit Merrifield is 100% for real. I think there were some questions about last year that he had. And I think the Royals are at least trying to build a future rotation. I don't know if Glenn Sparkman's going to be in it, but you have Junis, you have Keller. You at least have some foundation to have a good rotation for 2019 and beyond.
Well, I agree. We found out Whit Merrifield is a bona fide major league player. He could play a lot of different places. He's going to lead off. He is a guy you play every single day and I'm glad they didn't trade him. I think you want him right here when and if you ever get good again. Rotation-wise, Keller is in there. The rest, Junis has got to get better from me. He's had a little bump in the road now. It's lasted too long. I think if they were a better team, he might not be in the rotation, but it's easy to be in the rotation on this ball club right now. So Keller, I have faith and belief in. Junis is getting a lot of starts because they don't have anybody else. But I think he's got to get better, and the rest of them are a flip of the coin.
You throw Heath Philmyer in there, possibly? I mean, he lost. I mean, the Royals had a 6-0 lead on the White Sox over the weekend. They ended up getting beat 7-6. Heath Philmyer, you give him a shot to potentially be one of those guys?
You know, Brad, if you're planning on being a last-place team, yeah, he's in your rotation.
Got it.
But if you're planning on being better, I don't think you need better than that. Yeah. A lot of guys are getting starts right now and playing time because of where they are and what's happening, but – If you really want to say you're going to beat the Cleveland Indians someday, you better have better than what they're throwing out there.
I think LeFevre said on the broadcast last night, 9 pitchers have made their major league debut for the Royals. And Spectre was making fun of me today because I was telling him Jake Newberry pitched last night. He goes, that's not a real person either. I said, no, it really is. But you're right. I mean, that's a really good point, and that's something that we ought to look at. Like, if you want to be good, then some of these dudes.
It's like somebody has to make the All-Star team. Well, somebody has to start from,
Yeah.
So that's where they are right now. But when you get to the point where you're going to win, hopefully they've got other people and better people.
Right now we're talking to Jamie Quirk, former major league player, also coached in the minor leagues for the Royals. All right, we've got a couple of rapid-fire questions we want to ask you. Who is the player in the organization right now with the best chance of being a multiple-time All-Star?
I would say Whit, and I'll tell you why, because somebody has to go from the Royals until they, that's the rule.
Yeah.
And I think he should have gone this year. He didn't. I thought he got screwed a little bit.
Sal got grandfathered in there a little bit.
Right. And so I think right now, for the next few years, I think Whit is the guy who will be a multi-year All-Star.
A position player that you would sign to a long-term contract today?
Wow. Yeah.
Because Whit, to me, is a little bit different just based
just
on his age.
Yeah,
Whit's
his age.
29 years old. You already got him locked up long-term. Yeah. I don't really see the benefit or value in signing him to a long-term deal.
I mean, I could see maybe a 2-year deal, but he's not going to do a 2-year deal because there's no benefit to him. But, in the organization, I don't – I'm not trying to cop out. I don't see one that I would give more than a 3-year deal to.
Yeah, I mean, it's position player-wise, I mean, Herrera? No. Dozier?
No.
I mean, you control
Mondesi,
him.
Mondesi, you don't have to. You control him. He hasn't done anything. So,
I mean, Soler potentially, but I haven't seen enough from him either.
Right. You know, he was just starting to, you know, hit homers and do some stuff, and then he got hurt. So he's missed half a year. So, you know, that you don't want to do that.
Are you worried about Soler being, quote, injury prone?
A little bit, but he was starting to show that he's got the bona fide power. He was cutting his strikeouts down. I thought he was starting to be a better player this year, so it was kind of disappointing he got hurt. It cost him, you know, 300 at-bats, and a lot could happen in 300 at-bats.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw him, he was getting off an elevator in a boot, and that was about 2.5 weeks ago. But Binkley said he's taking some early work, been out there catching some flies, so hopefully we'll get to see him in September. I don't know.
Right.
Another question. If you could only have one for the next 5 years, Brett Phillips or Jorge Soler, who do you think ends up being the better player?
From what I've seen of Phillips, I'm going to have to go with Soler just because he's got a little proven major league time. Phillips is in that young mode, striking out way too much. Yeah. I think it's almost 50% right now.
Yeah.
He plays pretty. Outfield-wise, very nice, good arm. Center field can do it. And I say plays pretty. He's got a nice swing, but I've seen a lot of guys with nice swings that doesn't result in anything.
I got nice swing in my old man league, and that usually doesn't result in anything either. Jimmy. I mean, I know what you're talking about.
He's got to be better, and you know, Jorge was starting to prove his worth. So I would say Soler.
Who is the prospect that intrigues you the most that will be up in 2019?
I'm gonna say two. I really like Richard Lovelady. Left-handed relief pitcher in Omaha. He might even be up in September this year. I don't know. And then I'm still on Nicky Lopez, the shortstop in Omaha. This kid's a baseball player.
We're going to see him in September, don't you think? Or what do you?
You know, I don't think they want to get his clock started.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about major league time. Then you got to you can have him an extra year if you keep him. You know, you don't have to put him on the roster yet. So my guess is that he won't.
Yeah.
But he won't be here in September. But he's the guy that I think will be here at some point in 19.
How bad does that suck if you're a player and you're a guy like Nicky Lopez and you've got a team that has obvious needs, but the team is like, yeah, I don't think so because we don't want to get that 6-year service clock started and bring him up here. That's got to drive a player absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's like being that guy that has an option left and he goes up and down. You know, whenever you make a move – and hasn't done anything wrong. The team's not playing well. He's the one who goes because he's got options. You know, it's like that.
Well, it's kind of that's what happened to Whit Merrifield at the beginning of last year, right? They decided to break camp with Mondesi and then left Whit in the minors, and we saw how that worked out.
Right, exactly. You know, but so, you know, I say Lovelady, who I think you'll all enjoy when you see him. Mm-hmm. And I'm still on Nicky Lopez.
But I kind of think, to go to Brad's point, that it sometimes, to me, stops you from putting the best roster out on the field because I'm not near the baseball evaluator that Dayton Moore is or J.J. Piccolo. I just don't know how at the beginning of 2018 you could watch Whit Merrifield play baseball and watch Raul Mondesi at the time play baseball and come away with the conclusion that Mondesi was better. Like, I don't know how you could see it. I saw them both play in the major league level, and it was clear who was a major league player and who wasn't. So if the fear was, I don't want to start his clock, especially in a year in 2017 where the Royals were trying to be all in and go to the playoffs, like, you made the wrong decision last year.
Yeah, and the reason they, you know, Mondesi, because they activated him during the World Series, so they got his going already, you know. If he was not put on the roster in the World Series, which I have no problem with, that they're trying to win. If he could help you win an inning of a game, then you're fine. But he was already there all the surroundings with him, and Whit has never had the surroundings. All Whit had to do is go out and prove his worth every time. That's, you know, but you're right. If you're really going with the best 25-man roster, which doesn't always happen.
Last question here, Jamie, and we'll get you out of here. What is the percentage that we see Bubba Starling in a Royals uniform in 2018? I know he's injured, but September call-ups, maybe they try to do something last 3 weeks. What is the percentage chance you think we see him in 2018?
Zero. I don't even think he's playing anywhere. He's not even in Arizona playing, from what I understand. So he is not playing baseball games, so that means he must still be injured. So I would have to say 0%
chance he's even in a Royals uniform when spring training starts in 2019.
The only way that would happen would be they decide to take him off the roster, because I don't think there's going to be a trade available for him. But they would have to just say, we're cutting ties, and he'd be a free agent to go somewhere else. Somebody, you know, somebody's still going to believe in him and probably, wait till spring and get him through spring, get him healthy, you know, maybe he'll go to winter ball and open some eyes. I don't know. Yeah. You know, we talked about that once. Yeah. He's never done that, so I think he needs to go get some at-bat somewhere.
That's our guy, former Royal coach, Jamie Quirk. Jamie, always good having you in the studio. Always good talking baseball with you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, Jamie.
Coming up on the other side, we will all take a minute, and I remember I had a million-dollar idea that may finally be legalized in Missouri that might cause me to quit this job and make six figures here in the next 3 weeks.
Is it a driver's ed school for Missouri drivers?
No. Oh. Something even better. I'll tell you what it is coming up next. It's The Drive.
Well, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
We've got so much stuff to get into over the next 10 minutes. I had a million-dollar idea a couple of years ago on this show, and many of you laughed at my idea. Now I'm about to quit this job, and I'm about to pursue my dream. I'll tell you what that is momentarily. There is a very funny piece of audio about currently the best show on television, and we'll play that coming up here momentarily. But right now, Spec, give me a minute. I'm not one to make big-time proclamations off of the preseason, but I feel ready to do it in one regard. Lamar Jackson's not going to work in the NFL. And it hurts me to say that, but I got to keep it a buck with you guys. Lamar Jackson, let me read to you his stats so far this preseason. 18 for 43 for 201 yards passing. He has completed 41.9% of his passes. I don't think you can make someone who is not accurate the way Lamar Jackson is and turn him into an accurate quarterback. He can certainly do a lot of things athletically, and the Ravens are going to continue to do it. But I watched just about every snap of him yesterday, and I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Now, he is incredibly athletic, but I'm telling you, you can book it. Spec, you can write it down. It is not going to work for Lamar Jackson because somebody with his accuracy issues, you cannot just automatically turn it on. It is not a light switch. The Lamar Jackson experiment is going to be a failed one in Baltimore. I've learned that in watching all three of his preseason games so far in the NFL.
Spec, give me a minute, please. Dreams do come true, people. Let's tell you about a guy named Chris Thompson, PGA Tour rookie. The thing is, Chris Thompson is 42 years old. He's a two-time All-American at the University of Kansas, finished in third place at the Casey Golf Classic, the Web.com Tour event. That tour just wrapped up. And because Chris Thompson, at the age of 42, finished in the top 25 on the money list on the Web.com Tour, he is about to be a 42-year-old rookie on the PGA Tour. I mean, this dude traveled the many tours, stayed in awful hotels, packed his car, hit the road, driving all night to get events. And finally, at the age of 42, Chris Thompson is going to be a rookie on the PGA Tour. I absolutely love that story. I covered the 2003 U.S. Senior Open. It was at Inverness Club in Toledo. I wanted to do a story about a guy that had a hard time getting to that point in his life. He was 52 years old. His name was Rod Murray, and he was a used car salesman in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and he qualified for that event. So I was talking to him, and in a deep southern draw, he said to me, he goes, Brad, not everybody can be Tiger Woods. Somebody's got to be me. Well, somebody's got to be Chris Thompson, too. And this man at 42 years old had a dream come true, and now he's going to be a rookie on the PGA Tour, and he's a Kansas Jayhawk. I just love that story, a story of perseverance, busting your ass, and staying with it. I love it.
Can I take a minute?
No.
Yesterday, we discussed that Missouri drivers are apparently worse than Kansas drivers. Brad seems to like to pick and choose when stats are worth mentioning on the show.
I'm just saying it was a smartasset.com.
Part
a
of probably
website,
that
a lot of
statistic
research.
Is St. Louis drive-by shootings. There's Missouri, and then there's St. Louis. So while, yes, Missouri ranks fairly poor in driver rankings, That's all St. Louis. That's not this side of the state. That's not downtown KCMO. That's not Grandview, Lee Summit, Blue Springs. I'm sorry, but that's St. Louis. Don't lump Kansas City with St. Louis. You could even throw the Ozarks in there if you wanted to. Probably a lot of accidents down there. Alcohol related, I'm guessing. but how dare you judge our side of the state line when it comes to driving, because there's no competition between Casey Moe and the other side of the state line in Kansas. That's my minute.
Hey, man, stats tell the entire story. I've been trying to tell you guys that the entire time. You don't need the eye test when it comes to driving, just simply statistics and analytics.
I was trying to enjoy my birthday yesterday, and plenty of people tried to send me this fake news story. I'm going to give you a little tip on how to use the internet in 2018. If you've never typed into the search bar the domain name, don't trust it. None of you have ever typed in smartassets.com ever at any point in your life. Have you ever done that before? So I'm not trusting its information.
Well, Kansas City Star, the newspaper of record in our fine city, trusted it and did a piece on it, Carrington.
Then they're wrong. They've got no problem telling the Kansas City Star that they're wrong.
Okay.
If you are using this by smartasset.com, then you're inaccurate. I use my own test.
What's that?
I've lived in Missouri. And there's not been a day in my entire life that I've not lived in Missouri.
I'm sorry.
I'm telling you unequivocally, the worst drivers in the country live in Johnson County, Kansas. And you Wyandotte County folks, you ain't much better. Now, I'm not sure what county Lawrence is, because I try not to frequent there very often, and I've been to Manhattan, and you guys drive fine, but there ain't a lot of people there, so I don't. How could you be a bad driver in Manhattan, Kansas? If you can obey simple traffic laws, you'd be a fine driver in Manhattan, Kansas. But I'm telling you unequivocally, right now, wherever you are, if there's somebody driving erratically, look at their license plate. I'm telling you, they are going to be from Kansas. Mm. I know this for a fact. Next time you're driving, you see somebody pulled over on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Check their license plate, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a Kansas driver. I've been trying to tell you guys this for years, and no one listens to me.
I just have a simple question. Speck, what state is St. Louis in?
It's its own county. It's like Grenada.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, I believe it's St. Louis, Missouri, right? And so, therefore...
You know how sometimes in your family you have like that uncle that like you're related to him, but like you don't really know him very well. And then in family reunions, they try to act all cool. Like, we're not related. Like, you're not my family.
Oh, you're not?
We might have the same relatives, but we're not related.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Like comparing San Diego and Sacramento.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
It's the same state, but it's not the same thing.
Oh,
That's a great comparison.
Okay. I'm just saying it's in the state of Missouri. I mean, you can look it up. Like, get out of...
It's also in Illinois.
Get like
And Kentucky.
Get like exactly.
St. Louis, Missouri is what I'm talking about. Just get out get out your Britannica encyclopedia. Look it up, man. You can find... I got a globe. Too, I'll show you that.
Can I tell you guys a story of how Missouri is better than Kansas? I mean, I know most of you already knew this, but sometimes you need examples. I had an idea a couple of years ago called Store Run, that we've all been in social gatherings and social settings where you run out of ice, or you run out of beer, or you run out of mixers, or you run out of vodka, and you want somebody to go do it. No one wants to leave the happen and function to go make a store run. So I had the idea of an app called Store Run that we do the store run and you don't want to do. We'll go to the local liquor store. We'll pick up everything you need. We'll happily drop it off in your house. Guess what Missouri is about to have?
Hmm.
This audio is courtesy of KMBC.
Just because they have bad drivers, they need this?
Alcohol in Kansas City, Missouri could soon be as simple as picking what you want online and opening your front door.
This idea of having home delivery for booze is really exciting.
Jonathan says he's all in.
It'd be a lot easier to go out and have them deliver it than it would be to get your stash.
The proposal comes as seemingly more people are choosing the comfort of online orders.
We're trying to make sure with this ordinance that it's safe, while at the same time it's something that's practical and recognized in our current economy.
Councilman Quentin Lucas says the proposal does have safety checks in place to help make sure alcohol doesn't get into the wrong hands. At local liquor stores like Cellar Rats.
The pool is big enough for all of us. I just want the playing to be fair.
The owner supports the idea, but points out state law still keeps him from shipping alcohol to customers.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it does. It hurts to have things limited to what you can do.
While customers like Jonathan say there's no doubt they'd buy alcohol online.
I mean, there's still a place you need to go out and browse the liquor selection or beer selection for something new.
In the store, still where they'd go to learn about a different product.
I'm just telling you guys, I saw the future a long time ago. That the future is having somebody deliver a six-pack of Boulevard Wheat right to your front door. Can you imagine in the winter when it's cold and you don't want to go outside, all you got to do is pick up your phone the same way you do with Uber, the same way you do with Lyft, the same way you do with Z-Trip, and somebody can bring you a nice bottle of Tito's right to your front door. You don't have to leave. I'm telling you, I have the future. It's called Store Run. Missouri, always at the forefront of modern civilization. And this is just another example of how we're not blocks ahead.
You know what?
I'm talking light years. I'm talking galaxies ahead of the state of Kansas. Galaxies.
You know what Missouri ought to do instead of this? Maybe just buy some asphalt and fill some potholes. Maybe spend the money that way. Spend the time on that instead.
Okay. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, you on Kansas versus Missouri drivers is like Republican versus Democratic gibberish. Okay. Pop quiz.
It's the pop quiz.
I do like surprises.
Every day on the drive at 2:55, if you know your stuff, you win a prize.
It's complicated, so pay attention.
That reminds me, today on Twitter, I was talking about the differences in white meat and dark meat when it comes to chicken. This guy sent me a link of nutrition facts. Like, you just have taken this way more seriously than I have over the last 5 minutes or so. The pop quiz is brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner wins $25 to Blind Box Barbecue. Today's pop quiz is the song, Spec?
Yes, the song title.
All right, play it.
So you know I've seen it all before. I've seen hoop dreams deflate like a true fiend's weight. The try and the fail, the two things I hate. Succeed in this rap game, the two things is great.
If you know what song that is, call up Spec right now to call number 6-913-576-7610. Caller number 6 wins $25 to Blind Box Barbecue. Coming up in about 2 minutes, there was a story that many of you missed over the weekend that I'm telling you, you don't want to miss. We'll tell you what it is coming up next. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.